DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB. Welcome to The Rambling Rabbit. This is Happy KB. Hey, we have a special guest with us today. We have Blue from our community. Hey, Blue, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good.
We did it. We're here. It's Valentine's Day, and we are doing a podcast. I'm so excited. Hey, so you've not been with us as long as other community members have. I was looking on the site. It looks like you joined us. Remember, September 6th is when you joined us of last year. So you haven't been with us as long as most of the people that have been that I've been interviewing. So how did you find us?
Well, to be honest, I was looking for like apps about psychedelics on the App Store, and I just typed in DMT and y'all popped up, and I was like, oh, I'll see if it's active.
I hear this quite a bit from people. They're like, I was just looking for, I'm like, you were just cruising around looking for DMT. And to me, I'm like, that's strange in my brain, because when we started the website, we moved over from Facebook, our Facebook group, because it was getting, they were trying to keep shutting it down with the community notes and stuff or whatever. And so I never thought people would just go type in DMT World to see what they could pull up. I mean, or DMT just to see what they pull up. And the fact that that's what you guys do. But, you know, 4 years ago, it wouldn't have happened that easy. We've been around long enough and have established DMT World that now when you do put in DMT, we're one of the first things that pops up. And I think that says a lot about the how much time we've put into just this site. So what do you think about our site?
I mean, I'm impressed. I've been through a couple of psychedelic servers on Discord and stuff. They don't quite have the same energy as this one does.
Right.
A lot of the other ones are, you know, the people aren't very mature, and a lot of them are younger. Even the ones that aren't, like, they don't always act like adults.
Right.
And, you know, this community isn't like that, and I really like that.
No, it's not like that. Even between the site and Discord, since we use Discord, and a lot of people, I don't know actually if they understand this or not. I'm glad that you're a more Discord user, because I want to talk about Discord to some people, because a lot of them don't realize that we utilize the Discord server for real time chatting. The site itself is not as fast. It's a nice, slower paced, feel to it. And so, like, if you're going on and you're wanting to have like the conversation, the real-time conversation, it doesn't happen on the site as easy, because we're not on it like we are on Discord. And so Discord is really nice, where it has been able to be the place where we can sit and we can have that real-time chat, because a lot of us, we just don't have anything else to do. And we've built a nice tight-knit community. Everybody on there is super nice. We have our community builders are the people that come in, and they're the ones that basically keep everything going and keep everybody kind of in the vibe. And
yeah.
So may I ask, how old are you?
I just turned 19 the other week.
Oh my gosh, you're so young. 19. So how long have you been doing psychedelics?
I'd say since I was 16 or 17.
Okay.
I actually did acid before I really smoked weed. It was literally, I didn't know much of anything about it. I asked my friend, like, you want to go buy some weed or something? And he's like, hold on, I got something better for you. And he brought me to the bathroom, and this dude just handed me a piece of paper and was like, here, take this when you get home tonight. I'm like, oh, shit, okay, what is it? And he was like, it's a tab. And I had to do a bunch of researching to figure out what the fuck that meant.
Oh.
But luckily, I found Arrowhead very, very, very early on. Like, I was looking through that before I took the tap that night. It was
he didn't tell you what to expect or like.
Oh fuck no!
Oh my!
There's not a lot of people who are, you know, nice enough to do that. Where I am, like, they're just trying to sell you drugs, trying to make money.
Where are you located? You don't have to tell me like specific, but like, where? What area are you located in?
In the Raleigh area, generally in North Carolina.
North Carolina, okay. What is what's the demographics over there?
In what way?
Drugs, substances. Like what's around there the most?
Mushrooms are somewhat easy to find. There's a lot of weed. There's weed everywhere.
Okay.
Get away from it. Acid is a little harder to find. I have one person that I hold very closely.
we all do. Yeah, we all have that one really good connection. Yeah.
Yeah. DMT is completely unheard of. Like, not even like people who know it from like Joe Rogan or whatever. Like, people just don't know anything about it. It's like it's a complete mystery to them.
That's normal. I see that a lot. DMT is just not it's gotten more public than it ever has. But it's not if you're out trying to find something, you know, you're going to come across acid. You're going to come across mush. You're going to come across, you kind of come across those people that will mention DMT, but like, getting a hold of it, it's kind of like Snuffleupagus. Nobody knows exactly where it comes from, which is really strange to me, because we instruct people how to do this. So I mean, it's kind of like, oh, okay, it's not around. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere on the site online. So yeah. Have you smoked DMT?
Oh yeah, probably about 15 times now.
Oh, good.
I mean, it was incredible. There's nothing else like it. I don't know how to describe it. the best way I've seen it described was a speech that Terrence McKenna gave, like one of his lectures. he just said, like, your surroundings are immediately replaced by something completely alien. And he is not wrong. Holy shit.
Tell me about your first DMT trip.
You want my first real trip or like the first time I ever did it? Because like the first time I smoked it, it was not really, it wasn't working right.
Okay, so tell me about the first time you smoked it, and then tell me about the first time that it actually worked.
Okay, so the first time I smoked it was out of a light bulb, and it did not work very well. Well, actually, it would have worked fine if I knew how to do it right, because I was heating it. I wasn't heating it enough. I thought you were like barely supposed to have it smoking. But I was wrong. it just looked like acid. It looked a lot like acid.
Okay. Tell me about the second time that you smoked it then.
Well, I got a dab rig. And a real torch, not the shitty ones from the smoke shop.
and one of the big ones? Was it one of the big?
Yeah, I got a big shot, whatever the fuck the number is.
Right.
And I don't know. I eyeball all of my doses, so I kind of just, you know, tapped some. I had a little vial. I just tapped some in and just lit it up and, you know, hold for 10, 15 seconds. Or until you feel it.
Yep.
And just let it go. And it was really weird. You know, the noise, you hear the buzzing.
Yes, like the sizzle, as I call it. Yes.
Yeah. And it was weird. I always do it on my porch because I can't smoke it inside. And I live with my parents still, so.
Right, they would smell that, definitely.
Yeah, they would know what it was, too.
Oh!
Yeah, but I was out on my porch and I was looking down. I had my lock box open. It's just like a Pelican case.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it open and all my stuff was inside. And I had my scale with a little bit of DMT left on it. I tried to weigh it, but it didn't work very well. and like everything looked like it had like a second layer over it, kind of.
Yep.
And it was like made out of colorful light, and there were these little dudes running around, and they kept jumping on me. And I looked down at the DMT left on my scale, and one of the little dudes started dancing on it and pointing up at the stars. And so I looked up at the stars, and I heard a weird noise, and I thought it was aliens, but I don't think it was.
Well, you never know.
Yeah. Alien biotechnology.
Right, right. We're tapping into something, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, tell me, what do you do in your parts of the world? You're 19, so you're not in school, right? Are you working? Are you in the workforce? Are you just kind of taking a gap year? Like, what are you doing?
I'm in a tough spot right now. I had a seasonal at Target, but seasonal ended, and I had told them before that I didn't come back because it was really hard work and just, you know, difficult hours and stuff. And I wasn't interested in coming back, but you know, I quickly regretted that after found it very difficult to find another job. So right now I'm really just trying to find a job, pretty much anywhere.
What do you want to do? Like, what kind of interests do you have?
If I really had to choose, like my top three picks, I would want to work at Barnes and Nobles. I would like to work at a gun store.
Oh, you're not old enough to work at a gun store yet, though, right?
I am. I'm 18. I believe that's old enough.
18?
Yeah. I mean, you got to be 18 to buy a rifle. So I figure.
It's been a long time since I have bought a gun, and I some of those laws, I'm not really sure what things are. I mean, it's what? Crazy to me that, you know, you have to be here in Kansas, you have to be 21 to be able to go into a smoke shop and buy anything.
What?
Yeah, for real. In Kansas.
Technically, it's like that here, too, but, you know, a lot of the shops just don't give a fuck.
Well, yeah. So, what are your laws, like, legality-wise for, like, marijuana and psychedelics and all that?
It's all illegal.
It's all illegal? I sit in it. Kansas is the same way. Nothing is legal here.
Cannabis laws should be changing soon. But not currently. We do have like Delta 8, and actually I have a 3-Chi cart right now. It's a Delta 8 THCA, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. But it's like the legal stuff. You know, it's pretty good.
It does the trick. And so you do a lot of old school, like black market. Like when I'm getting weed, I have to call my weed dealer. Or I gotta drive across the state line, and I don't like to drive much if I don't have to. But I do. Well, it also.
My dad pulls up to my house.
You what?
He just pulls up to my house or leaves it at a drop spot.
Yeah, you do it old school. You do it like I do. We're still got our weed dealers. We're still trying to. I'll meet you in the parking lot.
I think I probably was legal.
Okay, me too. I still want to go to my guy. I still want to go to my person who, like, that's the one thing I think I enjoy the most about, like, smoking pot is, like, it's the whole, it's not just getting the weed and smoking it. It's, like, calling your friend, being like, hey, dude, what do you know? And then you just, it all, it's kind of like that bonding experience that, you know, that thing.
Not really, it's a like social that for me.
Well, you're no, still a little young.
He always wears a ski mask.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he a friend or is he just a?
Well, he's a dude I met in high school. Okay. I wouldn't really call him a friend. We actually almost fought once. I almost fought him.
Those are the best people to get your substances from, the people you might fight. There's a respect. There's a respect there.
Yeah, very good one. And we didn't actually fight, so that's a plus. But yeah, I don't really know him. He just pulls up to my house, drops my weed off, and leaves.
Hey, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a new one, though, because he fucking charges me, like, $40.
For
3 grams, dude. He upcharges because he has to deliver.
Oh. Do you drive?
No.
No.
No way.
Yep. So then you gotta pay for the delivery service then, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, it sucks. It's whatever. So when your laws change, what are we going to be looking at? Are they going to go to medical or are they going to go to recreational? Do you actually know yet?
In the past, they have tried for medical.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they already had that denied or not, but I think it's more likely that we'll get medical over recreational. But I mean, you know how it is. It's not difficult.
They'll push medical first, and then that opens the doorway for recreational to be able to come in on the backside. That's pretty much how they do it anyways. That way they can get that substantial okay to have it. And then they're like, oh, well, we might as well let... But it's okay. Get your medical card when it goes medical and you'll be gravy. I mean, yeah. Medical weed is super great. Like when I was in college, way back when the dinosaurs were, I had this friend and he would show up at the house. He went to college there with us, but he would like disappear during the summertime. I had a house. And so he would like disappear a couple months out of the year, right? Because they were growers. And so he would disappear. And they were cannabis growers. His family was. And so he would go back for a couple months and like be there when they would harvest. And then the next thing I know, the dude would like show back up and he would have all this weed on him. And I'm just like, it's a gold mine. I don't know why I was telling you that story. See, I do this a lot. So you just got to.
No, it was a cool story.
I'm not even sure. But he did. He would go and help harvest. And then he'd come back to the house. And my house was like the house. Like that's where everybody came. And yeah. He would sit on my couch with my wooden box that had all the goodies in it. And he would sit there and I would have all these people that would come through the house because they always came over to my house because it was KB's house. They would come to the house and they would sit down. Of course, there was always this for a new person, new bowl rule that I had where a person comes in, somebody has to load a bowl, right? I only had to load one bowl of the night and that was always the first bowl that I ever smoked. And by that time, by the end of the night, there'd been 20, 25 people that came to the house and I didn't have to smoke my white weed, but I was really high. But anyways, this guy would come in and he'd sit down and we'd all have our sessions and we'd all sit there and do our thing and they'd bring their guitars or they'd have their drums or whatever. And we'd be sitting there and next thing you know, it'd be time for everybody to leave and people would trickle out. And by the end of the night, when my friend would get ready to leave, he'd open that box and that box was empty because we had sold all that weed, but nobody ever saw it. You never saw hands change. You never saw money, nothing. And that's what he would do. He'd come over the weekends and he'd just sit there.
Holy shit. He was just showing weed in your house the whole time. What the fuck?
Pretty much. New person, new bowl. And he made tons of money. But that's like old school. Like, I mean, that's why I went into the story. That's what I like. That's the feel. It's a community. It's a communal type thing. It's a bonding experience, you know, sitting down with your dude and like just rolling up a fatty and smoking and just having conversation. Like we don't do that. We go into dispensaries now. We stand in a line. Yeah. We order our stuff. We give them our, right. We give them our money. They handed our stuff and we're out the door. I miss the way that it used to be. And it's just the way that it is. What do you think about, what do you think that if federal actually gets legalized first, what is do you think that does to your state laws?
I'm not sure. I think it would still be separate. I think people would just stop getting raided by the DEA.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be local police. Then that would put strain on that and people wouldn't want that. So honestly, they'd probably just legalize it at that point.
Well, and I think that would be, I personally think, and this is how Kansas should do it too. I really think they need to get the legalization done before federal goes legal, just because, and I don't know if this is true. This just may be something that my brain thinks, but I think it would be better if Kansas or your state legalized first before legal the federal, because I don't know how much that's going to change some of the legalities dealing. I don't know if it changes what happens in the state. I don't know if states' rights, I don't know how that all mixes. I really think that the state should get it legalized and then federal does whatever federal is going to do. I'd like federal to happen because then I can, on our site, we don't have to, we can talk about marijuana. We can talk about where we can get seeds. We can talk about dispensaries. We can, you know, we can cite labels. That's one of the hardest things right now is because, right. Internet. Well, and that's just it. I live in a state that is not legal. Okay.
Yeah.
My partners who, they live in a state that is legal. Okay. Well, on our site, we abide by the federal law. Federal law states that marijuana is not legal. So therefore, nowhere, not even people who are over in like other countries where it is legal, we can't even have the conversation. You know, we can't promote where we get seeds. We can't, even though there's all these online stuff, because it's federally illegal for marijuana. So that incorporates seeds, that incorporates anything. We have to keep it clean. If it went to goes federal, we don't have to go by that anymore, because once it's federal legal, it's legal, right?
Even better if they do it with psychedelic shit.
Oh my gosh. I mean, we're there. I mean, we're getting there. We're closer than we ever have. Look how many places are already decriminalizing psychedelics. Like that I never thought I'd see that in my lifetime. So in your lifetime, yeah, think about what you're gonna see become legal. So let's talk about that. What are your thoughts when it comes to legalization of psychedelics?
I honestly, if you want to know the truth, I don't think psychedelics should be legalized. Simply due to the fact that capitalism tends to ruin things. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of magic out of things. Right. I think they should be decriminalized. I think that's a good option. But not in a way that, you know, large companies can make a lot of money off of it, because then it's sour, you know.
Well, that aren't these large corporations helping funding some of the research that these places are doing on psychedelics?
Maybe. I'm not so worried about the people, like larger companies selling, if they have, you know, been supporting us for a long time, because at that point, you know, we kind of owe them, like they helped us a lot, you know. So I guess they would make sense if they were the ones producing it, but like, you know, the large pharmaceutical companies and stuff is mostly what I'm worried about.
Sure. Who do you think should get the say about the regulations of our psychedelics? Like, who gets to tell us what we can and can't do and how much we can take and quantities? Like, who do you think should get to govern that? Do you have an opinion on that?
Know about it and have been a part of the culture.
Yeah.
Not somebody who has never touched it or doesn't know what it does to you.
Yes.
And, you know, that's what we have right now, so.
It is. One of the things that we're seeing, in fact, one of the things that bothers me the most, and I've talked about it with other people in different interviews, is the therapy. The use of the therapy stuff. With Eddie V, we talked about the MDMA and mushrooms have now are on option for VAs to be used on VA.
What's that?
For the veterans now have access to utilizing MDMA and mushrooms. Like, that is a thing that they have now. Yes, it is big. Because I think about of anybody, any classification people that are vets are ones that you need this aspect of this therapy. I don't have a problem with that. I think part of that is because I know so many vets that went to the mushroom. The mushroom is what they went to when they were seeking help and therapy. A lot of the meds that some of the VA, the people have talked to me about just weren't working. They weren't working. And so mushrooms really came into play. And I think it's a good move that this is going to be available to vets, because I think it is something that can help in this capacity. They've done a lot of studies with MDMA and post-traumatic stress syndrome. And
yeah,
component would be very helpful just because of the state of the euphoric state that it puts you in. You know, also ketamine treatments, utilizing ketamine in that therapeutic set. I can understand that. I'm not real big on ketamine. It's not my substance. I don't really enjoy it. But I understand it in a clinical aspect. What is hard for me is to look at the therapy and counseling world. And it's just because I'm ignorant to it. I've never been to therapy. Have you been to therapy?
I have, on two separate occasions. One time, the first time I went, it just didn't work. I didn't feel like it was doing much. I wasn't connecting with the therapist. I figure it was just the wrong therapist. And then the second time was more recently, and it was like a scheduling conflict thing. I was at work every time he had open, and my schedule was unpredictable, so just didn't work out. But I mean, I think it could generally be helpful for some people.
What if you went to a therapist that has never done the substance, but they're wanting to prescribe the substance to you, or put you in a setting where you're going to utilize the substance? What do you think about that?
Substances being psychedelics.
Yeah, because we're talking about psychedelic therapy.
Yeah,
using integration with it.
Well, I mean, I think it's a plus side if they've done it. I think that would be a good thing, just so you can help in the patient's, you know, truth for a minute. But I don't necessarily think it's essential, as long as they're the people behind the scenes that are instructing those people have done it and can give them the proper guidance to properly guide us.
I agree with that. But here's my question to you. How do we make sure?
It's a good question.
So me personally, I'll help you out with this. I personally think this is where the community such as DMT world comes into play. I think because we are self-medicators, we solo trippers, we grow this medicine. We are utilizing this. We have learned our dosages. We've learned our chemistry. We've learned all these different aspects because there was no therapy for us. There was no, you know, so we've learned how to maneuver in the psychedelic community, and we understand these substances in a different way that a normal person would. And I think we have a lot of experience. I also think that our type of community and people that I would consider to be our type of community is what is going or should get to be at the table to have these conversations with the directions that psychedelics are going. Because I think the common person is in the psychedelic community can help keep the other side in check. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm all about the idea of using psychedelics, but I don't know on the big spectrum of it all if it's possible. To me personally, a psychedelic journey is very personal. I'm a solo tripper. I don't trip with people very often. I used to when I was younger, but I found that I always get put in the position that I have to be the one that regulates the trip for everybody, even though if I'm tripping. And I don't like that as much. I like to trip with people who can be in control of their trip as well, because it's very personal. It's a very personal thing. So it's for me in my brain, and it's only my point of view. This is all my own opinion, to go to somebody who wants to utilize psychedelic therapy. That's very hard for me to want that because I do it all by myself normally. Yeah. I don't like to be around people anyways. I'm very energy sensitive. You put me on mushrooms and you get me around people, I can't handle it very well. So like, to me, that's very unsettling. Now, I know there are people out there that probably don't have as much experience. And probably, I guess the therapy would be okay for them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just something I find very fascinating how fast we have gone to, oh, let's use mushrooms to fix this. Oh, we can use this to help cure this. Oh, we can stop. Yeah. I think we need to be very careful with our language when it comes to what psychedelics can actually help and provide with. And I think that comes from the understanding that psychedelics are very temperamental and they react totally different in each individual. And so
not only in each individual, each time.
Exactly. Your trip is different every single time. Every time every time I take a micro, I never know what that micro, like what it's going to bring up. I can be sitting at work and I take the micro and it's the magic one. And I'm like, oh, next thing I know, I'm bawling at my computer trying to do my job because of this song that came up and I heard, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I am not closed off to the idea of utilizing it because like we have a gentleman that's in our community that I've done an interview with and he does counseling and he does work with psychedelics in the therapy. And so like, I totally respect it. I just don't have enough knowledge, I think, and or I've never put myself in that position. Like I said, I've never been to therapy. I don't know if it would be good or bad for me, but I've never felt the need to go. So again, like, I'm having a moment, I go take some acid or I smoke some DMT, get my head back together. And I do it that way. And I think that's
my own thing.
Right. And I think that's where it comes from, why I'm just kind of like the therapy thing. I don't know if I really like mainstream psychedelic because it seems to be a little overdone. I see mushrooms everywhere. I love mushrooms. But I see mushrooms everywhere now. I like, it's in the psychedelic, it seems like it's just vomited everywhere. And maybe that is because I'm in the community. And so that's something that I'm always thinking about. So I'm seeing it more. I don't know. I don't know how I really feel about it, but
Seen some really weird, like, stuff with psychedelics. Like, there's this YouTuber that keeps coming up in my feed. That's like his video titles are like ripping two DMT carts at once and seeing how far is irresponsible.
Exactly.
Like it's as if he's never done it because there's no conceivable way that somebody has actually done DMT and still chosen to make these videos or these clips or whatever. There's a lot of that happening, at least on my YouTube page.
Not just yours. It's happening. Yeah, it's out there. I also am seeing a lot of dark things coming over my YouTube that they associate with Ella, like tripping.
Like the trip report stuff.
Yes.
Why do they post the bad ones? It doesn't make sense. I mean, nope. I get you need to, explain that these things can be, scary or dangerous, but not every other fucking video, Christ.
Well, because it's what people are watching. It's what people will watch. It's one thing to see a trip where it's all happy and wonderful and blah, 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 blah. But people want to see the scary stuff. People want to see the bad stuff. And what people don't realize is the more that we're putting that stuff out there, the more when these people who are watching this and the more that they're tripping, guess what's happening in their trips?
What they're watching.
That's right.
Yeah, I listen to Terrence McKenna every time I trip. That's just what I listen to.
That's good. I think we need to be promoting set and setting more and more, making people understand that. Okay, so me, I'm kind of a spontaneous person. I'm like, oh, I'm going to take it. I'm going to go. I'm going to trip. That's kind of what I do. But I think there are more people out there that need to understand the importance of what you're feeding your brain, what you're feeding your mind, what you're listening to, what you're exposing yourself to does affect what happens in your brain. It happens in your trips. It does. And so the better, the more positive stuff that you're feeding yourself when you're in this state, you have better outcomes. And I really firmly believe that we're not teaching that as much. These are the things that I think may be slipping through. Maybe my mind thinks is slipping through with this mainstream push of psychedelics, is we're forgetting about the very small, important things of trips. I like certain music. Mm-hmm. I like my salt lamps on because it's a calming effect. Like, it's these types of things. We need to be promoting it even more and more and more and more, and not just two carts and I can four hits. It's irresponsible. And I think that our community needs to be a little bit more thought provoking on promoting harm reduction, set and setting, what's going on with trips. Because we get a lot of people in now, I'm seeing that, asking basic questions. And it's like, we've been doing this for 4 years, and you get the new people in and they ask the certain questions and they learn what they want. But you never hear much about harm reduction as much. We get our normal people who are like, make sure you're testing your stuff. But a lot of these kids are like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Have you ever been on the DMT Reddit or the acid Reddit or any of that stuff?
I don't frequent Reddit that much. I like to go and like search things up and then go to Reddit to find out what people are talking about. Reddit scares me. Honestly, it's kind of a toxic social media, and you really have to like, I go there for specifics. Like, if I'm looking up, I can't find anything else. Reddit has it. Reddit has it, and then some. So tell me about what you were going to tell me about this Reddit site, Reddit feed. Yeah,
okay, so most of Reddit is like that. I found, I really like the psychedelic subreddits, among other things. But those ones are really good. The community can be strange sometimes. Not always the nicest people, but a large majority of them are very knowledgeable. There's on the DMT Reddit, I believe, there's someone named Clob Wobbler, I believe, and he is one of the single most knowledgeable people, like on DMT, its extraction, all of that kind of stuff.
Oh, good.
I can think of off the top of my head. And he'll just pop into the comments and give tips and, you know, provide guidance and stuff. So, you know, there is a good side, but you're right. It is a lot of toxic stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's been around a long time. So there's a lot in Reddit. You can get lost. You can get lost in all kinds of Reddit feeds. So what do you do for hobbies besides psychedelics?
I play a lot of video games.
What's your favorite?
Right now my PC is broken. I just have my PlayStation, so I've been playing a lot of Overwatch. But usually I play like a lot of Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, Terraria.
Ooh, I like Terraria.
Yeah, it's a fun game. Forza.
I don't know what Forza is. Oh, it is. Oh, I might like that one too.
It's a lot of fun. You get a bunch of free stuff with it too.
What do you play on? PS2?
PS4? Right now I have my PS4.
I don't know where the pieces are at.
Well, it's fine, but oh Jesus. This is so fucking expensive. Holy shit.
It's expensive to keep ourselves entertained. It's very expensive.
Hey, man, that's why we have psychedelics.
That's right. That is exactly right. I don't need anything else with psychedelics.
Yeah.
I've got my phone. I got my phone on my computer. I get bored with those really quick, though. That's what I'm finding very, very quickly. I get way bored.
I'll, like, I'll like open an app and immediately close it because I suddenly find it uninteresting.
Isn't that bizarre? You know what that is?
It's attention span reduction.
We're addicted. It's an addiction. I will be sitting and not doing anything. Pick up the phone and open an app. I don't even know what the hell I'm looking at. Like,
I call myself on that every time and I still keep doing it.
Well, you're going to for the rest of your life because these phones, that's what they do. They play on that receptor in our brain. And, you know, we're just like, I'm fall to prey too. Short attention span. Like, I am disinterested. I also can see short on our website, like on DMT World, I can tell the short attention span by how much people come on and spend, like how much time they spend on the site or how many times they've come to the site. Or I get people all the time. They come to the site, but we're not posting anything. We're just looking because we're just looking for that something that what new has been posted.
A lot of what I do. I do that a lot.
And so what happens is when we're only being the lookers and we're not posting, things start slowing down on posting and there's less to look at. When there's less to look at, people stop coming to the site as much.
Yeah.
And so then there's a lag that happens, especially with DMT World, because this is another thing I don't think people actually understand. DMT World is ran by the community. Like it is powered by the community. We on the staff do all of our stuff by hand. The people in this community are the ones that have to post to keep the stuff interesting. Now, you look at things like Facebook and you look at X and you look at Instagram. A lot of that stuff is ran by the algorithms. It goes in and looks at your stuff and decides what you like to see most of. So like it's very bot oriented. It's like the computer runs it all. The programs are, this is not how DMT is. DMT World is not. You post it, you like it, that's about what's happening. And so like when people aren't posting, but they're just looking and then they're like, oh, there's nothing here. Well, okay, well, post something so somebody else sees it and inspires somebody else to post something. And it's just a really weird phenomenon. DMT World will always be here because I am the world's best poster. I will keep this place interesting. But again, it is that's I can see the attention span getting shorter and shorter and shorter just by how people are posting on DMT World. You can also see it in Discord. Like you can watch, like you can go through our channels. There are a ton of channels on this Discord, but people posting, like people are just going in to see what's new posted. They're not posting anything. And so this is one reason why we have the community builders that we have, because those people talk and are chatty and will get in there and it don't matter if anybody else is in there. They'll sit there and start cutting up and like doing their stuff and having a good time. And so like, that's why we have the community builders and why I'm very thankful for our community builders, because they keep everybody and everything going. And it's like, you can pop in there at any point in time and you'll see one of them in there doing something.
It's the ones with the red names, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Eddie, we have Eddie V, we have a Mad Hatter, we have Potassium, we have Claptrap. He is not only staff, he is also the team lead for the community builders. Not a real redhead. Is that his name? Not a real redhead?
Yeah, I actually never heard of him until recently.
He took a hiatus for a little bit. He came on and then lost his Discord account and then came back and he was there for a while. And then he left. He had some just different things he had to take care of. So he left for a little bit. Then you joined and then he joined back in and we put him back on our community builders because he's on all the time. And they're really fun. They're really fun people. They're very happy, high spirited people. And there's not very many. I mean, nobody's really mean. Nobody's really an asshole. Like we don't have the assholes. We have a really good team between my staff and the community builders. Yeah, we have, this place is just
wonderful.
It does run wonderful. And it's because I have some really good people that care. And that's a big part of it. This place was, you know, was a place for them when they came in, and they stuck around. And so those are the people that I want working and helping us build what we're doing. Yeah. So it's cool. So Bot what
Trap was the one that got me to stay. You know, chilled with me, talked with me for a bit, and I was like, yeah, fuck it. This is a cool place. I'll chill here.
Yep. He has that way. He just ropes them in, and it's because they have such a good, he has a good nature about him. I think he sees things very balanced. Sure, we all have our opinions in time, but like, they keep everything on an even keel. And that's what I really like about the Discord people that are in there at this point in time. We've had some people come in that were just terrible, nasty, mean, come in and they just, I don't know what they think when they come into a Discord server, but like, they get just a little too much. But we've got just some really nice people in there. Like, we have Keys. Keys is always talking and always having a good time. And she's just she's a positive person. Ben comes in, he's on staff. He's usually in on the mornings, and he's in there just chatting with everybody and having a good time too. So yeah, we have some really great people that maintain everything. And that's why Discord's fun being. I've been in some Discord channels that are servers that it's not fun. People are bad. Yeah. People are mean, hateful.
That's how all of my other psychedelic Discord servers have gone.
Isn't that strange? Isn't that just interesting? A little
magic circle.
Yes. And yes, it is a little magic circle. Isn't it interesting though? Like, especially psychedelic groups, psychedelic servers, you get people in there that ego really comes into play, and like BDE, and you know what BDE is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if I had to explain that to you or not, but but they carry that energy likes to fester in these types of groups. I've been in a couple of Facebook groups that, man, like ego just runs rapid in the psychedelic community, which is interesting because like we're supposed to be taking psychedelics to like kill our egos, stop the egos, shut the ego up for a minute, like put it back in its place. And sometimes it comes back full force, like big time. Mushrooms sometimes
in the psychedelic world, that this is people in general.
It is people in general, unfortunately. What do you think about people in general, like people who don't do psychedelics, like are normal people? Tell me, what do you think?
It's weird. I think it depends. Like, everyone's gonna have a different answer depending on like what their journey is, where they've been, you know, the people they've been around. I, at least for my school years, is mostly what I'm pulling from here. It was not good for me. I was bullied all through middle school. High school, I really got a grip. You know, I had friends. Nothing consistent though, because there was something missing. Like I don't know. It just didn't click with anyone. You know, my school has a lot of fights. It's not like it has a gang issue. I've been targeted before.
Really? That was not,
yeah.
North Carolina? This you said this is where you're at?
Huh?
You're in North Carolina?
Yeah.
They've got big gang issues in your area there?
Yeah, my city. Well, it used to be a lot worse. It's getting better now.
Really?
Yeah, but
what gangs run there?
All of them.
Really?
Like all the Hispanic gangs, and we have Gangster Disciples, Crips,
Bloods, all of them. Interesting. I didn't realize. I don't know what I thought, but I didn't realize North Carolina.
Everywhere has them. It's a very incredibly large organization if you put them all together.
Wow.
Not quite as big as the police force, but
interesting. So you've been targeted?
Bit of a sticky situation. I said the wrong thing to the wrong person, and they didn't like that.
Oh.
They followed me around for about a week, just throughout the school. Obviously, I'm in school. I can't just leave. And I can't go to any authority. That ends badly. I just kind of dealt with it. And eventually I found out my friend knew the guy who was following me, and he talked to him and told me to leave me alone.
And that worked?
Yeah, it was fine after that.
Nice. Well, you're lucky. Very lucky. Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, I see a lot of ignorance around me, and like, you know, violence and stuff like that, just negative things.
Yeah.
I also came from a community, a very, very good community, up in Oregon, Northern California, a lot of hippies.
That's where you're from? How did you end up in North Carolina?
Big move in third grade. You know, ended up here. I didn't want to move.
Do you want to go back to that direction?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. My end goal is Oregon.
Oh, nice. Hopefully
around Eugene. That's where I grew up. So hopefully I'll be back.
You put that in your forefront of your mind, and you put that out there, and you work towards that, and you keep that reminding yourself that that's what you're working towards. Then what will happen? You'll get this job. When this job comes, and then you'll be making some money, you make some money, you can save some money, and then you know what? Sky's the limit at that point in time. So I have really good feelings about that. So you said you live at home with your parents still, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
I live with my parents too. It's okay. do they know that you partake in psychedelics?
Nah, they know I smoke weed. My mom, big hippie a long time ago, has done all of the psychedelics, all of that stuff. Not anymore. She didn't. We talked about it once, and she doesn't think there's anything special about them. She just sees the brain chemistry, and you know that's what's making everything happen. Which, I mean, she's not wrong, but you have to look at it.
Also, like, you know, she may have done what she needed to do and doesn't have the need to go back into that space again. I know a lot of people that, you know, do that. That's happened. They just don't do it anymore, and the older they've gotten, because they just don't, they don't need it. They don't feel that there's anything left there for them to explore. So that doesn't surprise me. Do what?
I said that seems impossible. Maybe I'm just inexperienced, but I feel like there's endless possibilities here.
You are still so young. Different,
obscure things to try. I've been looking into, you know, very, very obscure plants, you know, that come from the Amazon and different herbs and that kind of stuff.
Let's talk about that. Tell me about your profile picture that is on the DMT World site.
Yeah. The Yopo. That's one of the few things that I've tried that is kind of out of the mainstream knowledge.
Well, tell me about your experience.
Well, it fucking sucks for about 20 minutes. It really is painful.
Tell people how you have to administer Yopo.
Okay, so they come as like seed pods, and you have to bake them basically until the seed pod pops and you have like an inner piece. Right. And you want to dry those out, grind them up, mix them with calcium hydroxide or baking soda. Either will work. Get it a little wet and put it back in in a microwave to dry it out again. Re-dry it, and then you have to basically find a way to shoot it up your nose without getting it in your sinuses.
Do you have one of the applicators? Do you have an applicator?
Yes, I have two of them. I made them myself.
Nice.
So I can do it well.
So you did this, and you loved the experience, didn't you?
Well, not the first part. Let me tell you. Hey, okay. This shit burned. Like, worse than anything I could ever imagine. People say that snorting Molly burns. I don't think it could compare. Like this, if you get the proportions wrong, you can give yourself chemical burns in your nose.
Oh my goodness.
With the calcium hydroxide.
That makes sense.
But that is it is an important part, and how they used to do it a long time ago before they just had the isolated chemical was burnt seashells, and they would grind those up, and that has.
Oh, okay.
So it is a traditional part of it. It's just more isolated than this.
Okay.
And after you shoot it up your nose, it hurts for about 5 minutes, and you start throwing up a lot. But that goes away, and you're kind of in this, it's this weird space, like, it's not very intense, like, visually or mentally, really, but it's intense in the feeling that, like, something is happening. Like, there's, it's a lot of body feelings. It's a, it has 5-MeO-DMT in it, a right. small amount.
Right.
So, and mostly bufotenine. So if you know what that's like,
mm-hmm.
visualize this. But overall, I give it a 7 out of 10 if I had to rate it.
Oh, okay. Worth trying. Definitely.
Yeah, it is worth trying. Absolutely. Do you have any experience with Siri and Rue?
No.
Oh, man. No.
Only with Changa. Only with it mixed in Changa.
Okay.
Because it helps prolong the trip.
Yeah. I used to just eat the seeds. You got to chew them up really well, and they taste like shit, and they make you throw up. The trip is crazy. You know, like tracers?
Yeah.
When you're tripping, it's all tracers. Tracers everywhere. Every time you turn your head, to the point where, like, it can impair your vision to the point where you probably don't want to be walking if you do.
Oh, my.
It. Yeah.
Siri and Root does this. Just eating it.
It's a wonderful trip. I love it. And it always gives me desert vibes. Like, I feel like I should be... It feels like I just did Spice from Dune. I should be in that environment, or like that drug is what could have been in Dune.
That's a really
it's
good...
It's really weird. And there's auditory hallucinations, which sounds like static, and now that I think about it, I think that's why I'm thinking deserts, is because it kind of sounds like sand shifting.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. It's really weird. And that's actually the origin of like the flying carpet stories from the Middle East.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Dye, and they stain the carpets with the dyes. And while they're doing that, it gets on their hands and, you know.
How wild. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
pretty interesting. Cool. Okay, so what other plant medicines do you like, or you've explored, or you're wanting to explore?
Well, I've tried various herbs. They're not particularly intoxicating, and they don't really make you trip. But blue lotus is really really nice. I've made tea out of leaves. I love mugwort. Mugwort is amazing for dreams.
I like mugwort in my changa. Because it has a really nice, it's so nice in a changa trip.
Mm. Yeah, it's really nice. Clip daga, which I honestly thought was going to get me high, but it didn't.
I'm not a big fan. Every time I've tried, the taste really gets to me.
Really?
I don't know what it is. It's the taste of it really. I've tried it in some different changa mixes. It's hard for me to, I don't know what it is about it.
No, I don't think it would taste good with DMT. It also has kind of like a strange sharp flavor.
And I think that's what it is. It's that sharpness of it. It's very poignant. It's just, I don't know. It's interesting.
But I've been looking into some other plants. There's a plant called the nerve plant. From like northern Peru, Like that kind of area. It's called the nerve plant, and it's actually grown in, like, as a house plant in the United States. And there's a preparation you have to do with it. The details are very fuzzy. There's not a lot of information on this stuff. But there is a way it will make you trip. People say it's like similar to DMT. There's a couple Arrowhead trip reports for it.
So I have a question for you. These different herbs or these different plants and stuff that herbs and everything that you're testing and you're utilizing and then you're going through, are you documenting any of this? Are you putting any of this information down, these things that you're discovering or you're experiencing?
No, I just keep them in my head.
Why don't you?
I don't like writing. I really, really hate writing.
How about, like, do you know what a dictaphone is? It's one of those, it's kind of like a recorder.
Adam and Eve's.
Huh?
Sounds like something you'd buy at the sex shop.
No. A dictaphone is, it's a recorder that is usually voice activated that you can carry around. It's, you know, people are like, oh, I have a phone. Well, I don't like my phone like that. I have a dictaphone where I can just pick it up. I can talk to it and it just automatically records my stuff. So I'm going around and I have ideas and I'm just like, oh, and then I can take that and I can just upload it into my computer. And then you just pull the files off. Really, really nice. Really, really easy. Simple. Okay. So I think it's very fascinating. I am a certified herbologist. Okay. So one of my favorite things I like to do is I like to read about the things of herbs and plants and find out about, you know, their properties and what they're good for and what they, but I really, really like the fact that when you're 19, you're very young, you're kind of new to some of this. And so you're looking at this with fresh eyes. I'm 48 years old and I've been doing this for quite some time. And so sometimes it's really hard for me to look at something in a brand new light. And so therefore I like when I have other people that have a different perspective, and you have a different perspective because you're young and you're just starting in this. And so I think it's really cool that you are trying Yopo and you're trying these different herbs and you're experimenting and you want to do this because this is a very interesting avenue. And to have a young person who is beginning in this, we need to hear from you how you're interpreting it, because we're not young anymore and we've done this several times. And so I think it's fascinating. And I think in the future, even though you don't like to write, you don't like to, I think you should document what you're experiencing with these plant medicines. Because again, we've talked about like things that we expose to ourselves over and over and over again. And then we start taking upon the same thoughts. We take upon the same trips. You're still new and you're still young. And so you have not experienced that. And you've touched base with people's ideas and what they do, but you're a new perspective. And I would like to see you somehow documenting your experience with these different plant medicines, because you never know, they may be important for somebody down the road. Somebody may not want to pick up a book by so-and-so, but Blue 88, I put 88 by your name on the site because it wouldn't just let me say Blue, by the way. So you're Blue 88. Blue 88 and his experience with plant medicines at 19 years old. That is fascinating. That is interesting. Now, plant medicines with Happy KB at 48, that's not very interesting. But
well, that's you have the wisdom of all those years.
Oh, craziness is what it is. But no, it's just an idea. Because you're putting the work in, because you're walking down the pathway of this stuff, what happens if tomorrow you're not here?
Yeah, I won't be able to do mushrooms anymore.
Exactly. You won't be able to tell me about the new other things that you're learning about. So that's just an idea. I think it's neat I think it's neat that you're very interested in this and that you're taking this journey because, well, it's a journey that I too would like to take. I don't always have access to it. You know, we all have different substance accesses. You have some access to these other things and you're educating us by your experience with them. And I just think that's really cool. So that's my two cents to you. You should be documenting everything you should be putting down. So, and you can even just document it in a DMT world. I mean, it's still going to be here forever.
I think the times that I have tripped, I do come in and, you know, kind of say what I'm feeling.
Yes, you do.
Times.
You're very expressive when you're tripping. You like to tell us what's happening and it's good. You come from a big family, don't you?
Kind of.
Well,
I don't know my dad's side. My dad is from Panama.
Panama?
Yep. Born and raised.
Oh, nice.
I have a lot of native blood in me. And he doesn't speak English. So we email using Google Translate occasionally.
Panama. What is he speak? Latin? What?
Yeah, no, Spanish. That Spanish? Panama is just south of Mexico.
Okay.
like right by the Darien Gap and stuff.
Do you speak Spanish?
Nope. And my dad doesn't speak English. And
does your mom speak Spanish?
A little bit. Enough to communicate with him, at least.
Oh, okay. So he's in Panama. That's interesting.
He has a lot of knowledge about psychedelics, specifically the traditional ones used in the communities over there.
Right.
You know, ayahuasca, mushrooms, mescaline, that kind of stuff.
Does your dad know you do psychedelics?
I've hinted at it. But he has specifically stated he wanted me to wait until I was fully mentally developed, which happens at 21. So I haven't told him yet directly, but I think he has a hunch. The same as my mom. I'm sure she doesn't say anything.
Yeah, I'm sure. We know lots. We know lots about our kids that they don't realize that we know.
I've learned that.
So he lives in Panama. Do you ever get to see your dad?
I met him once when I was like 5. We went down to Oaxaca in Mexico, and we visited him there. But other than that, no, I haven't. Well, actually, no, we did video call a few years ago. But other than that, no, we just email. He also has really spotty internet connection. He lives way out in the country. So yeah. he doesn't really have common access to that kind of stuff.
That's good that you keep in touch with him though. That's really good.
Yeah, he's a very smart person. He was a professor, I believe.
He was a professor, really?
Yeah. I don't want to say where, because...
Yeah, don't tell us where. Yeah, there's no need to. Interesting. And your mom and him still get along with each other?
They don't talk very much. Right. I mean, I know they're, like, on good standing enough to, like, occasionally speak to each other, but
right. They're
not buddies, you know?
So, did she go to Panama? Like, did she meet him there? Like,
my mom had a very big journey when she was like 17, 18.
Yeah.
She ended up hitchhiking all the way down Central America, Mexico, all through there. She went to Puerto Rico.
Mom's a hippie, yep.
you know, she had an adventure.
She had an adventure, all right. And you were a product of that adventure.
I was, and I am proud of it.
That's awesome. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that. Over Christmas, you were talking about your Christmas you guys do. Like, you guys do the dinner and the movies. And it was so great. Like, I think it's great that you have, it feels like you have a closeness with your family. And I think that's really good.
Holidays are weird because... the only reason that stuff happens anymore is because I really care about it. My mom is not a person of tradition or keeping things around. She's not a sentimental person at all.
Right.
And I am. I very much am. I care a lot about, you know,
That means you're going to be the glue of the family. You know that, right?
I sure hope so.
And it's good. It's good because we need those people to tie us in. I am that person for my family. Every year we do a Bartlett Christmas exchange. Bartlett's my last name, by the way. Bartlett Christmas exchange with not just my family, but it's like my aunt and uncles and my cousins and all of them. And so like forever, from as long as I can remember, every Christmas we would draw names, and then that's, you had to make sure you remembered that the whole year, and that's the person you drew for the Bartlett Christmas. Okay, no big deal. Yeah. Well, they decided that when my grandparents passed away, then it went to like our parents, and then they decided they didn't want to do it anymore, so it went to the grandkids, which was my age, right? Well, my cousin and my brother decided that we're going to do Christmas a little bit different. We're going to do what's called Elfster. Elfster is basically an online Christmas list. You can also, So you go and you sign up and you have an Elfster list. And basically, like, whenever you see something and you're like, yeah, I want that, you put it on your Elfster list. That way, anybody else that's on Elfster that has your list knows what you want for Christmas, knows what you want for your birthday, knows it's no more the guessing game of going and trying to figure out what you're going to buy somebody. You just pull up this app. And so my whole family is on Elfster and we're all linked in together. And so my brother was like, yeah, we can do Christmas exchanges on this. And it's really, really cool. We do all this thing. And I was like, everybody's like, okay, well, who's going to do it? Well, the one Christmas that I broke my foot and didn't make it to Bartlett Christmas, guess who they decided was going to be in charge of doing the Christmas list? Me. So 5 years later, I'm still running the Christmas, but I'm the one that has all the control over Christmas now. Like, when they need to make a change or they're like, where's Christmas? Or what are we going to do for Christmas? Like, they come to me because I'm now the glue that holds our Christmas celebration together. So it's a good spot. It's a good spot to be in because it sounds like family is important, and we need to instill in not only our present family, but those that come after us, that family is important. And so people that are the glue of the family, they're very important people, because if it wasn't for you caring about those traditions and wanting to keep doing them, they trickle away and then we forget about it. And that's how we lose some of our culture. That's how we lose some of our just family culture. Like, we do things so different as the world keeps changing. It's okay to hold on to some of those things to keep family together, keep friends together. It's just, it's a necessity. So it's okay that you're the glue. You keep wanting all that food and that family time. So.
When I move out.
Eventually you'll get there. Don't be in a rush, though, to move out. You have your whole lifetime to move out because you might find yourself moving back in. I've moved back into my mom and dad's house. Like, let's see. I think this is my fifth time.
My mom pulled me up to the second.
Well, I'm back this time because I'm now the caretaker for my parents. Like, my mom can't get up and walk around. She's chair bound. And my dad, he's getting old and his knees don't work like they used to, and they can't climb up and down the stairs. And so I came back because now I'm the glue that's holding this part of the family on this end together too. And it's good. It's good. So we're going to wind up. Right. We're going to wind this up a little bit and get, because we're getting on that mark. So I do want, this is the time I ask everybody, this is your moment. This is your, I'm going to give you this time to say whatever you would like to the DMT world community that's listening. It can be hopes, dreams, goodness, badness, whatever you want to say, but this is your moment to say whatever it is you have to say to the community.
Well, I guess I would just want to say, you know, thank you for supporting me through this short period of my long journey that I've been with you guys. Thank you for being good people and making me feel like this is a place I want to be in. And I hope I am here for many years to come.
Awesome. Well, I'm really glad that you accepted the invite to come and be on the Rambling Rabbit. when we were talking that day, and I thought I was, it just happened. Cause I'm like, I need to get somebody to interview. I need somebody. And finally I'm like, okay, the next person that private messages me, I'm just going to ask him. And boom, you showed right up. And I'm like, perfect. So I really, really appreciate it. With that being said, I'm going to tell everybody, I hope you enjoyed this interview with Blue. Other than that, hope you have a rest of the week, month, year, and keep ascending, friends.
Bye-bye.